So here's the deal, dude. Like, I'm totally serious about this, okay? Hear me out.
Hit me.
Okay. So, you know My First Million, the podcast?
Yep.
Sam Parr, Sean Perry, they're awesome, right? You know how I built this with Guy Raz?
Yep, classic.
NPR, like, great, great stuff. Good storytelling there. There is nothing close to either of those shows, which, and the shows are different, but they're, the kind of common thread is they talk a lot about ideas. They talk about building things, right? They talk about the startup world. They share founder stories, et cetera. But there is nothing close to that in the nonprofit space. Like, honestly, I just Googled like 10 best nonprofit podcasts and I listened to the first 2 minutes of all of them and they suck. Like, I'm sorry, like, pardon my French, but like,
getting called out.
The truth is,
pardon his French.
And like, we don't know what we're doing. Like, we really don't. But what we do know is that we've got a lot of ideas.
Mm.
We care a ton about bettering the social impact nonprofit charity space. And we happen to work with a number of charitable organizations and help them with digital fundraising. So we know a little bit. So here's my thinking, Frankie. We should be the podcast for the nonprofit space that is akin to the My First Millions and the How I Built This. What do you think?
Let's start a podcast.
Oh, you know, fun fact, we're on a podcast right now.
Welcome to the Nova Show. Oh,
wow. That
What's going on, everyone?
Interesting. Yeah, guys. Well, welcome to the Nova Show.
We were having funny seeing you here.
We were having a conversation right before we start. We
a
hit
25 minute conversation.
Yeah, we were supposed to start recording like 20 minutes ago.
He had his hand on the start button.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait. Oh, yeah. No, but seriously. So, like, and we're talking about like how much we love the space and how much like we want to do good in the world. We want to do good well. And we just see like huge opportunity for young people.
Huge opportunity, yeah.
Like us who are passionate, who are inspired, who are creative to do something.
They're
totally
ready to
disruptive.
Make a change in the world. They're ready to get out there. And
honestly, like what we were chatting about is like there's never been a better time to like blow up your life. Like meaning.
What does that mean,
Zach? Like maybe a better word is disrupt your life, right? Like we're living in a world where our society's relationship with work has fundamentally changed.
Completely, yeah.
Like, you're never going to be required to come back to a traditional 9-to-5 in a high-rise building. Like, most of our children won't even know, like, what it means to, well, like, they won't understand the term the 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a second. Like, there's a whole generation that's going to grow up not even knowing what that means. And so, right, like how this relates to what we're trying to do is the Nova Show, right, every week what we try to do is explore the trends, the technology, and the strategies in the organizations that we think are reshaping the fundraising landscape. And we're really humble in that we're on this journey too, right? And we're basically inviting you to journey with us as we discover how to attract, engage, and inspire the next generation of advocates. And I think for any folks interested in learning more about being influential and impactful in this space. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I want to be the people. I want the Nova Show to be the show that inspires them to go out and do good in the world. What do you think?
Dude, I'm hyped up right now. I think our listeners can tell right now. We're a little hyped up right now. No caffeine. Well, Zach's
I'm on my third cup of coffee.
Zach's actually reaching for his coffee as I'm saying there's no caffeine involved. There's no caffeine involved on this side of the room. I have the long cord today, so I'm socially distant from Zach with my mask on. But, yeah, I mean, I'm super hyped about this, and I think it's really an awesome experience to journey, you know, with our listeners just to see where this goes and to see what we can learn together. Go ahead, Zach.
No, yeah, I was going to say absolutely, and like, you know, it's fun. You know, we got somebody from Charity Navigator that reached out to us after the last episode and was really inspired by the work that we're doing, and we're chatting with them about possible collaboration. So, you know, the reality is, guys, that we're building this show, but it's really a community that we're trying to build around the show, and we want you to be a part of that community. So give us feedback. Like, let us know what you like, what you don't like, how we might be even more of a resource. Again, we're attempting to share everything that we're learning in any given week, kind of, you know, we're trying to funnel that into some sort of digest and share those learnings with you. So that's our goal. And we're just excited.
Yeah,
right?
We're here to have a good time with you all.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, exactly what you're saying, Zach. Like, so, like, yesterday, I was just, you know, hopping around. I have no idea how I stumbled upon this. But basically, I found Kindful and Next After's the state of nonprofit email cultivation.
Okay.
And so I saw an email announcement for that, or maybe I somehow ended up on Next After's website. I have no idea. I really don't remember. But basically downloaded it, checked it out. I was not really paying attention. Then I opened it up and I was like, wait a second. There's a ton of awesome stuff on here.
Yeah.
And I was like, Zach, you have to check this out.
This is the PDF that you shared with me.
This
right?
is the PDF. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I mean, that report is insane.
I know. This is basically the big kahuna of like the version that I think we talked about this like episode one or two.
Yeah.
I was just going through different, you know, donation pages and testing out communications. This is like the big boy of it all. This is the mammoth. So to give you like a quick description. I can't talk today. I need some caffeine. A description of the study. Basically, the Next After team and the Kindful team, they basically went in and they donated to 199 profits and they subscribed.
Nonprofits.
What did I say?
Profits.
Profits. Yeah, that's cool. A few, three letters. You know, what does that make a difference?
It's not an industry that we're talking about or trying to get thought leaders in or anything.
You can't win them all.
Concussion.
That will fall in the concussion category. R.I.P. Anyways, they downloaded to 199 nonprofits, and they also subscribed to, you know, if they had any email updates or communications that were available, they subscribed to them as well, having two different personas, the donor, the subscriber, and then they tracked their communications for over 45 days. So, I mean, this is like, if you think about that, if you're doing 199 times two, that's like 400, you know, like email communications.
Like persona pathway mappings, yeah.
That you're tracking for 45 days. So, like, that's pretty intense. Yeah. And, I mean, I've tried doing that for, like, 40, and I'm just like, oh, this is a lot of time.
they probably had more than, like, an hour to prep for it. So, you know, I don't know. It's impressive. It's impressive. So what was most interesting? I have a couple of takeaways that I thought were really interesting. What were some of the more interesting ones to you?
Yeah, I mean, some classics. I mean, this is like kind of just been a classic story for nonprofits. But only 52% of nonprofits that they studied, you know, sent a clear confirmation of email sign up or a cultivation email in the first 2 days. And I mean, like, that's like a huge like red flag. I mean, that's a missed opportunity right there. Like, if I'm going to reach out and like subscribe, fill out a form, or I'm going to actually donate. Like, if you're not sending like a confirmation email immediately and giving me a secondary, you know, content offer, secondary opportunity, like that's my point of interest, you know, generally has high open rates, high click-through rates. Why don't you provide me something of value for me to take another action?
Yeah, that was shocking to me. I mean, not that shocking to be totally candid, but like, I didn't realize, like, I thought it would be closer to like, you know, 60% or 70% do and, you know, 30 to 40 don't.
Yeah.
But basically half of nonprofits failing to send a clear confirmation email, when all of the research that we've done and that we see throughout our clients is like confirmation emails, thank you trigger emails, right? Generate 80 to 90% open rates. That's like the best open rate you are ever going to get on any sort of email communication, right? And so like, if you're not taking advantage of that opportunity, like right, we talked about this, I think last episode a little bit, but like eyeball time, right? Like that you're gonna have more eyeball time than you might ever have from a prospective constituent, right? And so like, how do you, as you're saying, Frankie, like how do you capitalize on that with lots of other opportunities for folks to further engage with your programming, further engage with your mission, and then hopefully, right, you know, further engage their wallet to contribute again.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the gateway right there, that secondary, you know, content offer right there, that confirmation email. Another thing that I thought was interesting, we talked about this previously, I think in another experiment that we did. Oh, it was the coronavirus one. Or for the stimulus package.
Ah, yes.
We talked about it a little bit, but only 9% of emails were sent from a person. And the others were just sent from an organization or a person in organization. There wasn't that personalization feel to it. Again, it's like that automation's taking over and it's killing the personalization feel of everything. And it's just very, rigid and it's uninviting.
Yeah. What's really interesting about that too is that the idea of donor engagement, right, and like donor personalization and like donor-centric fundraising, like everyone in the nonprofit, gosh, neither of us can say the
letters.
Word.
N-O-N, nonprofit.
anyone in the nonprofit space, like, knows that like people just add like centric to everything, right? Like we're going to be donor centric in our communications. We're going to be prospect centric. Like I feel like you don't like, you haven't made it into like the inner circle. You haven't made it into like the nonprofit ivory tower until you use like centric every
what
other
Novus centric. Is that?
Oh God. No, but like, but seriously. So what's interesting to me about this is because like this idea of donor centricity is not new, right? Yeah. And it's something that people have been talking about for generations. Or maybe not generations, but, you know, decades at least.
Years and years.
But no, but what this idea of putting the donor at the center of your communications is, it's really interesting that only 9% of these emails are sent from a person. Like, how can you be personal with an organization, right? Like, like relationships are between people and people, right? And yes, someone might have a relationship with your organization, but chances are they have a relationship with somebody in your organization, whether that's one of your beneficiaries, right? Whether that's somebody who's like on staff, right? Or somebody that they met at an event, somebody's story that they were inspired by. There's typically some sort of like
emotional connection
with one person or, you know, people that inspired somebody to give to your particular organization. So all that is to say is that statistic is shocking. And shockingly low, and absolutely needs to change. Otherwise, you're never allowed to tell me to be donor-centric again.
Nova-centric. You know what's interesting, actually, as you're like, you're talking about, you know, getting emails from, you know, individual people and developing that relationship. One thing that actually I found very interesting, actually, I just kind of like caught my attention. I was actually just checking my email, and, you know, I throughout the day, I get tons of cold emails asking me to like, hey, you want to join this list? You download this thing, blah, blah, blah. And usually it's just, I hit
buy a list of nonprofit fundraisers.
I'm like, yeah, sounds great. Not delete. Next email, delete. Anyways, 45 minutes after, you know, I subscribed or sorry, downloaded this report, I get an email from Tim Kachuriak. And basically, I was like, oh, it's just another automation email. It's another automated email, you know, whatever. And I started reading it. I was like, whoa, like, this is interesting. Like, I actually, like, it kind of struck me differently. And I was just like, you know what? Like, he's being super transparent about this, like, about this being an automated email. But there's also, like, a personal touch to it. Like, I feel like he's still reaching out to me. And he, like, admitted, like, hey, you know, like, this, as you can tell, this is an automated email. But, you know, if you want to, like, reach out, I'm always here for you. You can reply directly to this message, et cetera, et cetera. And then there, I think he actually is using HubSpot, which, you know, we know and we love dearly.
HubSpot, yes.
Classic shout out.
They're our sponsor for
that. What was that?
we both said the sponsor of the episode at the same time. Total disclaimer, they are not the sponsor of this episode.
Yet,
but if there's a HubSpotter listening and that you'd like to be, you know, we're all
get
ears.
In line. Just kidding. We'll answer immediately. But no, like I thought it was awesome, and it was just refreshing to see. I mean, obviously they're in the tech space, but it's just like an inspiration to like they're reporting on email cultivation and they're doing it well. They're following up, you know, from a personal stand, or they're practicing it, you know, on a personal level. And so I love that, and I want to see more of that. And so, anyways, what I think would be really fun, Zach, if, you know, this was an inspiring report, I think what we should do is we should find three nonprofits.
Ooh.
And we'll identify three nonprofits. I'm saying we should donate to Charity Water, then two others. But basically, we're going to go through and evaluate their donation experience from like a communication lens. Ooh. And basically, you know, check out their landing page, you know, the language on their homepage, how easy is it to get to their donate page, and then, evaluate their follow-up communications. And then, just kind of see what happens.
Let's do that. And while you're pulling up the Charity Water stuff, can I just talk riff on a couple of other things that I thought were interesting about this report?
Yes, I guess, Zach.
Thank you, Francisco.
No problem.
No, but like a couple other just statistics that they point to, sort of like learnings from this project, was that only 10% of subscribers were asked to be recurring donors. So meaning like people that had subscribed to their communications, right? So maybe you have like a blog or you've got like video content or whatever, and you ask folks to subscribe. Well, only 10% of organizations actually asked any of those subscribers to become a recurring donor, right? So, which is shockingly low, right? Actually, like, and so you know, maybe these people have amazing, maybe they're on HubSpot or some other sort of marketing automation platform, and they're getting incredible insights into kind of the user behavior with their site's content. And maybe just no one was genuinely like qualified to actually convert, right, as a donor. If there's one thing I've learned about nonprofits, it's maybe like, you know, two of them fall into that category. But I think what we're seeing here is most people just like forget, they enroll somebody in a Confluo, they put, you know, their general like donation button at the bottom of the email, and that's it. Like, they never actually go out of their way to ask these subscribers, the people that are like engaged with their stories, watching their videos, to actually become a monthly supporter. So huge, huge kind of opportunity there. And then the last thing, I mean, again, there's so much here, guys. If you haven't downloaded the report, we will include a link to the landing page or wherever Frankie got this from in the show notes. And it's totally worth downloading. If you have any questions too, like, you know, reach out to us and we'll connect you with the folks who produced the report. But the other interesting kind of like final takeaway that I have for you all is that 49.9%, so just shy of 50% of cultivation emails and 65% of solicitation emails in this experiment were sent between 6 a.m. and 1 p.m. Okay. Now, that's not like totally surprising, because again, like, you know, there's lots of email stats out there that say that the best time to send emails are in the morning, right? And that email open rates in the evening and at night get low engagement. But I predict that COVID is changing that, okay? Because I think that people are just on their devices more. People are working different hours, right? They're engaged at different times. Like, I know a lot of our own coworkers, like some people work from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. some days, right? Just because that's when they're most productive. And so I think that there's actually huge opportunity to experiment with testing emails outside of that kind of traditional 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. rate. And I bet like you will see engagement historically, like comparatively, between the engagement that you'll receive now is going to be significantly greater than it was the last time you tried these tests. So with that, I digress.
Well, isn't there also a weekend? They said something about weekends too, right? Like, there's a huge percentage of people that don't even send over weekends.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's probably true. And you know, actually, you know, what's interesting is one of the organizations we work with has been testing Sunday email sends.
Yeah,
and
exactly
they're open, and click-through rates are incredible.
Yep.
So again, like, it's just really worth you guys thinking critically about, okay, if the bulk of emails are being sent during this time frame, is it worth at least like good testing outside of those timeframes? And I think, again, COVID is going to help with that, because people are on tech longer, they're working different hours, they're engaged at different times.
Yeah. And one thing I hate, Zach, is when, you know, someone launches a report, they're like, okay, everyone, the best times to post on social media are between 4 and 6 p.m.
God. And then you're
just sending an email.
Oh, yeah.
Then everyone sends an email, then it's no longer a good time to send. But anyways, I just find that always hilarious when you're in these huge conferences and then, you know, 10,000 people are like, all right, now we're changing our whole strategy based on what everyone else is going to change to. But I digress.
Yes, let's go. Let's do this.
All right. So I'm on Charity Water right now. Zach, you can pull up. Let's go with, what would we say? It was,
do you want to do UNICEF? Do you want to do Salvation Army? We're intentionally going after some big guys here.
Yeah. Big, like, they're in the top 100, like, by revenue. Charity Water, I don't know if they're actually in the top 100 by revenue, according to 2019's, or the Nonprofit Times 2019, report. But I think UNICEF and Salvation Army are on there.
Which one do you want me to pull up? Do you care?
Yeah. Pull up Salvation Army.
All right, cool. I'm going to do it. You start talking about Charity Water.
Okay. So I'm on Charity Water's landing page right now. They're awesome. So, fair disclaimer, I am in love with Charity Water. I'm actually a current donor of Charity Water, but basically, I'm on their current homepage right now, and basically what I see right now is it's an offer to join their monthly recurring program. Then they also tell me, like, 1 in 10 people lack access to clean water. We're on a mission to change that. Here's how. So basically, they explain how to do that, you know, how 100% goes to the field, how they prove every project, and, you know, how with, you know, the donor's help, they funded X amount of projects for over 11 million people around the world. It's pretty clear to get to the donate page. So, you know, click on the donate button in the top right, classic. Land onto their landing page. I love it. It's super clean, awesome imagery. There's a power statement in there, which is like 100% of your money brings clean water to people in need. What's really cool about that, it's like, okay, that's interesting. I still don't really believe it. But then they go into explaining private donors cover operating costs, so you can give knowing your whole gifts will help bring clean water. You know, that's fantastic. They have an option to give monthly or give once. Always super important to, you know, allow people to opt into your monthly recurring program, whatever that is. So I donated $10. And what I actually thought was super interesting was the next feature. Okay. So, I mean, this is, again, like, it's a cool landing page. I mean, there's nothing super impressive about it. But their thank you, basically their thank you message was really cool. So it says, I know you guys can't see my screen, but it says, thanks for your donation. You're transferring lives for the people in need. As a member of the Charity Water community, you'll receive updates about the communities we serve, ways to increase your impact, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, it's basically I can check
where, dude, that's amazing.
What kind of like updates I want to receive. And from like a devved out like user experience that I've never seen before, at least for nonprofits.
Yeah.
Where like I can scroll through for like community updates. It, you know, gives a good description of it. Donation updates, event updates, volunteer opportunities.
And you know what's so cool, dude, is it says like you'll get up to three emails per month if you opt in for these types of communications.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That is like tweet worthy. We got to give them a shout out. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, this is like the prime example of like, you know, getting me to engage with your nonprofit after I donate. So love it. Charity Water. Oh, Zach's stealing my my credit card to donate.
Shh.
Don't tell anyone. But yeah, so that's what I want to talk about for Charity Water. I'm going to save and finish here. I'm going to see what, let's see, it's, here we go. Oh, you know what? Actually, after I hit save and finish, they say, thank you, your $10 donation is being processed. They give me actually a video to watch to learn more about the story that I'm a part of. And what's really cool is it's a video for The Spring, which is Charity Water's monthly giving program. So actually, after I've just donated for their, you know, a one-time gift, they're actually giving me a way to participate even more into their monthly giving program. Super cool. And again, you know, I've seen this movie before. Love it. And I think their monthly recurring program is, you know, it's been highlighted by many different nonprofits. So I would recommend you all check them out if you haven't already. I'm going to hop into my email to see what Charity Water sent me. Boom. I've already gotten a tax receipt. And I've gotten a thank you email. And in this thank you email, wonderful photos, I'm getting basically an offer to join their monthly recurring program. And they explain like what that monthly recurring program or that membership would mean. Better opportunities, stronger economies, future leaders. So anyways, again, I'm super impressed with this donation experience right here. Like we were talking earlier, Zach, I think it's super important to, you know, Zach, you have to. That's
I know, I know, I know. The CVC.
It's an 8.
No.
It's an 8.
What?
That's an 8.
No. I'm not. Sorry, I'm not using your card. I'm using my safe card.
Oh, okay.
I know. Your card was too
complicated. Sorry, technical difficulties over here. Zach can't use a.
I don't know how to use a credit card, okay?
But anyways, I think it's important to like look at your, you know, like we were talking about this, Zach, earlier. To look at your monthly recurring program as a product. Like, what's the experience that you're giving the actual donor? Rather than like, okay, I'm just going to let people sign up and then I will send them a thank you email.
Okay, so fantastic.
I'm done.
You're done. Thank God. God,
it's taking so long. I'm just killing time because someone doesn't know how to use a credit card.
No, okay. So guys, I just went and I Googled Salvation Army, came to their website. A couple quick things, right? So this is, I don't know if this is like a millennial thing or not, but I absolutely hate when I hit a website and then before the site content actually loads, there's a light box that pops up that says, do this thing, right? Like subscribe now or donate now. So before I even saw the Salvation Army's homepage, before like the content finished loading, there was already a box that popped
up
that asked me to donate to their COVID relief fund. Like again, I don't have metrics. I'm not seeing, you know, what's happening behind the scenes. Maybe that gets incredible conversion rate. But again, from a user experience standpoint, it's
super
really annoying.
Yeah.
The lightbox has zero originality from a design standpoint. It literally looks like somebody like bought some like WordPress plugin that said like pop-up box or something like that and then installed it. It's really, really, really bad. Anyways, I got out of the lightbox because I don't engage with lightboxes. Scrolled around on the content a little bit. And again, because for this experiment, we're analyzing sort of the donation experience, I went and I clicked donate. From there, it said, you know, give now. You know, the first gift that they offer is $500 all the way down to $50. Well, that's a little bit outside of my range. So I clicked other, donate. That's now like three clicks to donate, just so we're clear here.
That's a lot of clicks.
It's a lot of clicks. Then I'm brought to their donation page built off of their give subdomain. So this site is probably hosted on like a Stripe or something like that. Anyway, so I go and I put in my credit card information. I give my $10. Great. Then I get a light box pop up, and the light box pop up says, "Thank you for your donation." No personalization, even though I gave them my name, which is, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
My whole thing with personalization is don't ask for it unless you're going to use it. That's again maybe a personal thing, but. They say, thank you for your donation. And then they say, continue to show your support by spreading awareness and sharing with your family and friends. Okay. So there's an option to share on Facebook. Well, again, maybe they have great data that says this performs really well, but that's the only secondary conversion offer they give post donation, which is really interesting because one, I don't like posting content on Facebook. And you know, two, there's nothing else that brings me back to their core domain, right? So like, this is what we would call like a dead end. So from this point on, like I can either share this I can share the fact that I gave the Salvation Army a $10 gift on Facebook, or I'll do nothing. So I say no thanks, maybe later. And then I'm stuck on my confirmation page. So no like prompt to go back to the homepage, no prompt to engage with stories or video content, et cetera. That's all that there is. So let's check out the email. Let's see if they sent me an email. Okay. They did send me an email with my donation receipt. Oh, they use Klassi. Fun fact. Look at that. See, okay, guys, also like pro tip here, any like platform that you're using to manage your communications, whatever your CRM is, like every single CRM gives you the ability to, or if they're a good CRM, to connect to a real email address, right? So that you don't see the whole like sent by Klassi or sent by HubSpot or whatever. Like this is saying it's this email is sent by Klassi, and it says info, the from address, right, is info the Salvation Army National Corp dot klassimail.org at klassimail.org.
By
the info of Salvation Army National Corps on behalf of the Salvation Army.
Stop.
The
info that, stop, I mean, stop,
it,
stop.
It looks, honestly, it looks like spam. Okay. Like
it looks pretty ugly.
That it looks like spam. And again, it's just a receipt confirmation email, but you have the Salvation Army has the resources to do this better. Okay. So if you're, maybe your organization doesn't, but you can be better than the Salvation Army simply by taking the time to customize your from address
yeah.
and your from name in any communication that you're sending to your constituency. So they thank me for my donation. It's a retreat. It's a receipt. and then that's it. There's nothing else to do. Okay. No additional content opportunities. No, hey, you know, we'd invite you to become a monthly donor. You know, literally nothing else here. It's just a receipt. So again, we'll see if we get enrolled in some additional communication sequences from here on out. But you know, pretty underwhelmed by this experience considering sort of the brand that the Salvation Army has.
All right. Last one. Thank you, Zach.
Last one, yeah, do it.
Push through for we're gonna use UNICEF USA.
Let's do it.
Basically, it was interesting. Went to their homepage, hit donate. I get a pop-up donate window. What I thought was actually pretty cool was, you know, it's a nicely designed donation form. So I put in, you know, I'm giving other, designating the $10. But then there's a prompting to become a monthly supporter. You know, it's like, will you consider becoming one of our valued monthly supporters by converting your $10 contribution into a monthly gift? And then they describe, you know, how the ongoing monthly donation would help.
Wait, can I interrupt right there?
Yeah.
So this is like a classic opportunity, Frank, as like you were saying about like thinking about how to productize your monthly community, right? Like,
tell me.
All they're saying is become a monthly supporter.
Yeah, but they don't tell me like what
that means. Or it's like, you know, join the block club or like, hey, get like become a...
Like a name of the monthly recurring program.
Like build a brand around it.
Like it's a group. It's like a group. I'm joining a community.
And that, I mean, and that's like that. There should be benefits to monthly subscription, like just like there are benefits to subscribing to Spotify Premium. You don't have to listen to ads. Like how? Like again, like what is the equivalent on the nonprofit side of things? And that's what people need to think about. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
Taking my
your thunder.
My thunder. So, anyways, you know, you can cover your processing fee. The donation experience was kind of different. I was just a little confused because they asked for my credit card information, and then you know, like then I put in all my contact information, or whatever. But anyways, I did that and, all I got was a, you know, a thank you message. And then again, just like a help spread the word, Share on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or share via email. There was no other like secondary, like, you know, step that I could take to get more like content or anything. Again, it was just like a sharing on Facebook, which I would never do.
Pro tip here. We're all these millennials and like we're trying to donate and like support your organizations. Give us a different opportunity other than share on Facebook.
Yes, yes.
And first of all, like honestly, okay, I'm sorry, but like,
oh, here we go. Get the rant. Get the rant.
Take a quick moment. Like it is so like, who's gonna share? Oh my God, I just gave $25 to the Salvation Army on my Facebook. Like, do people do that? Like, they
must.
I could
see that being like, it depends. Like, I could see it if there's like a movement they really care about. If it's going to a general fund, I don't see it being that exciting. Yeah. If I'm going to like, hey, I just sponsored this one person, I'm giving them education. Do you want to sponsor another person? I could see that being exciting. But honestly,
if I was going to ask my Facebook friends to get behind something, I would start a Facebook fundraiser.
Okay.
And I would do it that. Like, I don't.
What if you were lazy though?
It takes 2 seconds to start a Facebook. You just press start. Like, you press donate my birthday to blah. Like, how many people are going to be like bragging about the fact that they gave a $10 donation to UNICEF?
Little, it is a little awkward there.
What do I know? Maybe their demographic, like, really, like, their target audience really, like, loves this stuff and does it well. But yeah, I'm just saying that would never work on me.
It is interesting. They do say 1 out of 4 people you share this with will also donate. So it'd be interesting to see.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, they clearly have some data behind that.
Yeah, it would be interesting just to see what demographic, you know, is actually donating after seeing these, these social posts.
In which case they can say, shut up, Zach.
Yeah, Zach, you you could stick with your personal fundraisers on Facebook.
On Facebook.
which Instagram allows you to do now, too.
Fun really?
Fact. Yeah, nice. You can do a personal fundraiser. But yeah, I got an email from UNICEF. They gave me the receipt. But basically, it was just a thank you message. And again, the only, you know, secondary, like, or the next step I could take was just, like, to follow them on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, which, you know, either most likely I'm already doing or, you know, don't really want to do. But, I mean, it's a nice thing to do, but it's just not, like, super high value. I mean, I'm already just, like, shown that I like this organization. I want to help them out. And the best you can do for me is just ask me to, you know, follow them on Instagram to double tap that that photo. I mean, come on. But
yeah, no, I mean, seriously, like, if there's one thing that you guys can do this week to move the needle, go revisit your receipt emails, right? Go revisit your confirmation emails and your trigger communications and just be like, okay, in all honesty, how can you increase click-through rates by like 20% with these emails? Oh, well, maybe you should just put a button in there. Like, maybe that in and of itself will be different. Like, maybe you should have an offer that's not about sharing on social. Like, whatever it is, that's incredibly low-hanging fruit. If you have
a blog, like, this is like my top 3 blog posts or something.
Exactly.
Share those top 3 blog posts. Say like, hey, look, these are the, if you have a story about like someone you support, like these are the type of people your donations go to help.
Yep,
like,
yep. I love that. Like, and again, guys, like, I know that like we get to share all these cool ideas and be really critical. And like many of you guys are in realities where it's like it's tight, like budgets are hard and to come by, and you're doing everything that you can to just like survive, and you're wearing like 87,000 hats. And so, but like what we're trying to do too with this show is like give you like super simple, like low hanging fruit, like tips and tricks for how to better communications, how to better your marketing in like bite sized pieces that you should be able to do. Like, we want to give you sort of like the pro tips that aren't going to take you a lot of time, but have the opportunity to dramatically increase your results. And that's sort of like another part of our mission of like what we're trying to do with Novus as a brand and specifically with the show.
Yeah. And I think what's super exciting too is like, look, these are the big dogs, Salvation Army, UNICEF.
Yeah.
And I mean, Charity Water's freaking crushing it. But like, I mean, Salvation Army has a huge, like, you know, annual revenue, like huge budget.
They've been around forever. Like, yeah, they should be in front of like Safeways and like ring bells every Christmas. Like, everyone knows who the Salvation Army is.
That's right. And if they're not doing it like super well, if they're missing like high value, like there's missed opportunities there, like there's still a chance. Like, you guys, you know, small nonprofits can still be crushing it right now. Yeah. Take over the spaces that, you know, not that we want to like...
No, capitalize on their market share. Yeah. That is what you want to do. And you totally can.
It's true.
Because
yep.
If there's one thing that Silicon Valley has shown us is that just because you're like the biggest kid on the block doesn't mean that you're the smartest kid on the block. Doesn't mean that you're going to be the most successful kid on the block, right? So like...
You got to be smart. If you're doing it smart, like, I mean, it doesn't even matter about your budgets. You can just... Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And again, budgets... Yeah.
They're nice.
They're nice.
They're nice. I mean,
they help. Like, money helps.
It'd be nice if you...
But no, but, like, I think what you're getting at, Frank, which I, like, totally agree with, is, like, there's so often this just excuse of, like, oh, well, like, you don't understand. Like, we don't have a big budget. Like, our resources are limited. It's like, okay, yes, I get that, yeah, right? But what we're doing on the show right now is we're giving you ideas for literally, like, anyone with, you know, access to a computer, right, can make these tweaks, like
45
right now,
minutes,
today,
yeah. 30, 30,
in 45, 30 yeah, 30, 45 minutes, and you will see results. Yep. Like, we guarantee you'll see results. So that's probably a good place for us to wrap up, unless you've got anything else to say, Frank.
No, dude, that's it. You know, this was a fun episode. Thank you to all our listeners. Again, if you guys have any... thing that stuck out to you during this episode, if there's anything you want us to talk about, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Zach and I. As always, stay classy and stay spicy.
Stay classy and stay spicy. Yeah, and the last thing I'll say to you guys is, like, a couple of you guys have reached out and sent us emails saying just, like, hey, thanks for doing what you're doing. Like, we loved episode 4. We loved, you know, what you said about this. Like, all of that feedback really helps. And one, it just, you know, gives us encouragement, which is always nice. But two, it really helps us kind of, it influences how we craft these episodes. And at the end of the day, this is a resource. It's like, we're doing this just as much for us as we are trying to do it for you. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want this to be helpful and valuable. And if it's not that, we don't want to do it. So give us feedback, send us emails, connect with us on social media. Like, we love to hear from listeners.
Stay classy and stay spicy.
Stay classy, stay spicy. We'll see you next week.